Welcome to Get Married, Stay Married. This is your host, Lady T.
And I'm your co-host, Pastor Randall Crawford. Hey, you.
Hey, you.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
And how are you?
World, what up?
Yes. We did it. We wrapped. Season 1 is complete. It's done.
Praise God.
We did it. It's been an honor and a service. We absolutely love your questions, your comments, your reshares, your emails. We love it all. We love helping you in this way. This is just what we do.
This is what we were created to do.
Today's episode is Love Enough.
Is love enough? That's the question.
Did I say it right? He's like, how are you going to say it? Like,
Is love enough?
Yes, it's enough. It's enough. It's enough.
I believe it is.
Yes. And this is why we say it's enough. There's a lot of talk about if you just have love, you're not going to make it. It's not enough. You need communication. You need this. You need that. Let me tell you something. It is enough because it's the catalyst to everything else that you need.
Right.
Now, we're coming from a biblical standpoint. Mm-hmm. The love of God through Jesus Christ is enough.
Yes.
Right? What he did on the cross is enough.
Yes.
And if you have two parties that are operating in that, operating in his grace from that love that was enough, love is enough, because we have a saying, or he has a saying, that says love makes you
do things.
Yes, it does.
It does make you do things.
So when you marry people, what are some of the scriptures, or one of the scriptures, and we'll get into how many we can, that you use when you marry a couple?
Well, the main scripture, one of the scriptures that I use is Proverbs 18:22, and it states, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord.
Yes.
And obtaineth favor of the Lord. And it's vice versa too. If you got a good man, you know, you find a favor from the Lord. Because no one wants to be alone. No one deserves to be alone. There's someone for everyone out there.
But focus on that. Because, you know.
Yeah, find favor of God. A wife or a husband is a gift. It is truly a gift. Because you don't have to, when you're in a time of mourning, you're not alone. When you're in a time of joy, you're not alone. When you're in a time of sickness, you're not alone. You have someone with you, someone that's going to love you and take care of you. It's truly favor of God. It's truly the favor of God to have your other half, because you're not a complete person until you have your other half.
From a wife's perspective, I hold my duties, responsibilities, and how I'm supposed to be, and for him, for myself, for my children, in high regard. And you should too, ladies. You should hold that wife position in high regard, because it says that he finds favor because he has you. That means that you have to be a certain way. And that certain way is only the way God says, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's get into the other scriptures that you use.
1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all your things be done with charity. Charity is translated love. So let everything that you do from this moment forward, and if you're in a if you have a fiance and you're in transition into being married, becoming one, let everything you do from that moment forward be done with charity, which is love. Everything. That is your foundation. Love can overcome all things. And anything that you do, you have to do it in love. Because you're not just looking out for yourself anymore. You're looking out for your other half. And in most cases, your better half. And that's just the truth.
I'll speak straight to you, ladies. There is no secret weapon. There's nothing that you can hold inside of yourself that is a yielding power that's going to make him be exactly what you want him to be. The driving force is the love of God and the love that you have for him. And I'll say that if you're doing everything in love, it means that all the other stuff is
foolishness.
Yes, it's off the table. It's not relevant in this situation.
Let me explain something to you. How love is described. We know God is love, and God is perfect love. Okay, we try to give out perfect love as much as we can. Another explanation for that: if you know anything about wine, wine ferments. Wine is used for the blood of Christ. It's the purest thing once it ferments. It's nothing more pure than wine on earth after it ferments. That's why it's used for the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to take that wine. I want that take that fermented wine and use it in this place for love. So when you allow your love to ferment and it ferments together, it is so pure. It is so wonderful. All the bad stuff comes up to the top and it forms a foam. And they take a piece of wood or a piece of metal or whatever it is, and they just wipe it right off. And all the impurities, all the badness, all the wickedness, all the selfishness, all the pride, everything is gone. And you just have the purity of the wine. And that's how it is when you have that pure love, when you really love someone. All the bad stuff is gone. Love makes you do things. It makes you change.
Yeah, I don't know if you are, I don't know what you have there, but you always go to love is patient, love is kind. You have that?
Yeah, I do. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7.
Okay. Can we read that?
Sure can. Charity suffereth long. Now we know love is charity. Love suffereth long and is kind. Charity, love, envieth not, love.
Can we stop right there for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Suffereth long.
Yep.
And I don't want you guys to get it confused with enduring things that are ungodly, because we already unpacked that in another episode, like if you're unsafe, things like that. But if you're talking about day-to-day or someone's growth, right? Because you're growing. Mm-hmm. Both of you are growing.
Yep.
And so you're going to be at different points sometimes in your life, but you should be growing together in God. But that's the suffering long, that forbearance that love will allow you to do. Because someone will say, well, you would need forbearance. It said love is love. Love does that. That's what it does. It suffers long.
Yeah.
So it gives you the room to have patience without you overthinking it.
Right.
And giving people space to grow.
Exactly. So, and love suffereth long. I want to add to what you just said. If you love someone, your wife, your husband, your fiance, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, okay, if the love that you share with this person and that love is taking you to become one, it is like it's a strong force that's bringing you there to become one with this person, you're going to go the extra mile because love's going to make you go the extra mile, okay? And you're going to be kind as well. Meaning what? You're going to be compassionate and understanding with whatever this person has going on in their life because you love them. And you're going to go the extra mile with them. You're going to hold their hand with whatever they're going through. And whatever they're going through or whatever you're going through becomes your problem. It becomes that person's problem because of love. Going the extra mile. Love is the strongest force in the universe. There's no force stronger than love. That's why God is love. Remember that.
Yes, if you're dating, ladies, or if you're married and you're like, I want a man to love me. And I say this all the time on my social media. I'll say it again here. Get you, sis, get you a man that fears, reveres, loves, sometimes translated love, the reverence of the Lord, right? He reveres the Lord, right? Because if that man loves God, he is going to know how to love you. There's nothing you can do. That's what I was trying to say before. There's nothing you can do. There's no special physical powers or no meal that you can cook or anything you can do to your body that's going to force him to love you in a way that you're actually seeking. Mm-hmm. And lust is not involved there. It's, we're talking about love because lust fizzles, right? It fizzles all the way out.
Right.
And so I want you to understand that if he loves God first, he's going to know how to love you.
He has a foundation.
Yes. And that love is going to keep him faithful to you because of the fear and the reverence of the Lord.
And
so it's nothing you can do.
You create with this person.
And then he's going to love. And then that's what I was going to say. He's going to love his children properly. Yep. He's not going to run out on them. You don't have to worry about if he's coming back after he goes to get the milk. That's not an issue because he fears God. He loves God. He loves you. So stop trying to work it from your half.
Right.
That has to come from him reverencing God, you reverencing God, you come together and you reverence God together.
Right.
So that's very important when you are seeking a mate and when you are already in a marriage. Know that, that's one thing that is out of your control. He has to reverence the Lord.
Yes.
So choose wisely.
Exactly. It's very important to do that. And you have to let God work on your behalf.
Right.
You have to you got to trust him and let him know what you have need of, because he already knows. In all reality, he already knows what you have need of. Just trust him and watch God work love in your favor. He will always. Charity envy if not.
That's love again. About that, right?
Love has no envy.
In marriage.
And marriage has no envy.
In anywhere.
Exactly. Love vaulteth not itself. It is not pride. It's not prideful. It's not puffed up.
Yeah, and we talked about that a few episodes ago, right?
Yep.
Hello.
I'm listening.
I was trying to get some eye contact.
No, I'm sorry.
Yes, go.
I'm
please.
Sorry. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So, yes, it was funny because that clip, people like that because we were talking about, you were like, you know, I said, well, what is it? What is the real reason why he's not changing, right? He's refusing to change because everyone's like, you need more than love. But guess what? Love is not prideful. So if you have someone that is prideful, that means that they have a love problem,
right?
So the pride is blocking the change, which is stalling the marriage, which is stalling him from asking you to marry him.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. all that. So you have a love problem. Right. So we need to work on the love part, and then the pride, there'll be humility, because love is humility.
Yeah, because love shows no envy. Mm-hmm. Okay, it doesn't. Envy has no place in a marriage or in a relationship that's headed towards marriage.
No.
If you as a husband or a wife or a fiance has more when you guys first come together to start, or you have more of the favor of God when you first come together, mm-hmm. and your other half can see that, if there's a true foundation of love, pride, envy, it will not play a role.
No.
Not at all. Not at all. It will not play a role at all. And if love is your foundation, whatever the person has that you don't have, and you both become one, you have to realize that you're one now. Everything that he has is yours, and everything that she has is yours. So there's no reason for envy. There's no reason to look down on your wife or your husband like, I don't know why I did this. There's no reason to do any of that.
I think a lot of that too, we are going to get into season 2 has a lot of great episodes coming your way, and we're going to unpack some things, especially finances. That's my jam. Money matters, and how you need to marry your finances. Mm-hmm. And some people live separative lives. And so they don't marry that part of their life, the finances. And so I could see a lot of room. We talked about that for envy and jealousy, because how are you asking, just for example, if somebody makes 40,000, somebody makes 80,000, how, and realistic, I'm talking numbers, are you saying go half with me on everything? The 40,000 is going to run out at 40,000. You're in the negative at this point. Like, I'm just, you know, from a math perspective, they can't physically go half with you. So love will go the extra mile, right?
I understand that.
Yes, and it's like, you can't, what are you going to do? Take their blood? Like, there's nothing left.
Right.
You know? So love. And if you're trying to pinch that way, it's like, you might need to revisit love, because I'm not going to press on you for something you don't have.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you combine that income.
Well, that's what marriage is.
Exactly. If you combine that income, what do you have? What? 120?
Mm-hmm.
20, right.
So that's what, it's truth. That's the truth. That's
just
what
combine
you have.
Because guess what? There is no pride in love. Real love casts out pride. It casts it out. And it causes you to be understanding. It causes you to learn to appreciate what you have.
Let's talk about really appreciation.
Does. We can talk about appreciation, but I ain't done with the scripture. Oh. Rushing me. Here we go.
Next time you need the good book.
I know this phone thing. Right. So you got to understand this. Charity will never fail you. Love will never fail you. Love will never, ever fail you. And it won't cause you to act unseemly. What does that even mean? Love does not behave itself unseemly. You're not going to act in a way where you allow your emotions to take over in a bad or a negative way, which will hurt your marriage or your relationship. Let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about that.
Well, that's why I didn't want to lose my thoughts about being having a contentment and being comfortable, being appreciative.
Right.
But go on.
No,
yes.
Let's talk about that.
I lost my thoughts.
We'll go back to that. No. It's no big deal. We'll go back to that.
No, I lost
my thoughts. It's no big deal.
So we're talking
right here, unseemly.
Okay. So I like the female perspective because that's what I know, right? I can't speak about what men think and, you know, whatever. It's just, so from the female perspective, being a woman of God, are you trying? You're on that path. You trying. This is what you're trying. We live in an age where decorum is declined. You know, everyone has their own idea of what it should look like. When you speak, you got to remember, it's not just you speaking. If you're married, what you say out of your mouth, and if he's not around, your husband, people take as that's the couple's perspective.
That's how you think.
That's how the couple thinks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if the wife or I am unseemly in my speech, it's an embarrassment and shame to him,
right,
which is supposed to be a reflection of God and the family.
Right.
So I have a problem, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It should be a private conversation about that, or vice versa. You know what I mean? If he's in the pool hall and he's cutting up or whatever he does, you know what I'm saying? And he just, or he drinks too much or this, that, and the third, it's like, it's a reflection of the family. I'm sure she feels shame.
Yeah.
Or if you see signs of that during dating, it's like, well, let me address it now because I don't want this type of unseemly behavior or the
right.
all your posts on social media. Some of them are, it makes you a little cringy.
Right.
Like, I don't know. So then you have to check that. It's like we talked about that. Check the temperature of the people around you, that toxic behavior. We talked, you have a message you did 2 weeks ago about soberness and not in the sense of course, alcohol. But in the other sense where it's talking about toxic behavior around you.
Yes.
So it's like you need to behave in a way that will be pleasing to God.
Right. You absolutely do. Because if you're behaving in a way that's pleasing to God, your behavior is going to be acceptable for your wife or for your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the easy way.
Exactly. You can't allow. We have a thing in the Bible. Paul talks about walking circumspectuously, meaning walking the way God wants you to walk. Yes, you're going to mess up. You're gonna trip up every once in a while. Thank God for Jesus Christ. You have repentance. You move on. You look at the sin differently and you move on. You don't repeat yourself over and over and over and over and over again till you become repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do is keep repentance coming out of your mouth, and it will also show you how to act. It will remind you how to act.
Pray with
it.
Yourself.
Just will.
Pray.
It will remind you how to act, and you won't have any unseemly behavior. And that's important.
That can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have that, and you're like, well, that's where I'm at right now. One of us is unseemly, or we're both unseemly together, and we need to get back on track. That's where prayer comes in, and repentance. So.
Yeah,
it's never the end of the line.
No one said that marriage was easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want marriage and the joy and the favor from God that comes with it, okay, you got to put the work in. Just like you want to work hard on your body to get chiseled, to get every part of your body looking the way you want it or the way that you think the world wants it, okay? Work on your spiritualness. Work on your marriage. Work on your love. Get it chiseled to the point where God's pleased and your other half is pleased. Remember that. It's very important. And you don't have to worry about behaving unseemly. It's very, very important.
What you got?
Love is not easily provoked. It is not easily provoked. I'm just going over the scriptures real quick. Love is not easily provoked. Love stops. It stops. Everything. Every small thing that will cause an argument. Sometimes we argue over how you put the steak, a raw piece of meat, in the refrigerator, or how you put it in the freezer, okay? Now, my wife loves to cook, okay? And she doesn't let me handle food. And I accept that, not handling food.
If he gets served safe, certified, we're good. But something, listen, you've seen the videos where the wife's recording and the husband, he has a spoon and there's a raw piece of meat just hanging out there. And everything on the, in the pan is done. Everybody's going to be sick.
Right.
I'm not talking about you. Well, I'm just saying.
It's the
so
truth.
Those type of things like that, that not attention to detail in the kitchen where you could keep people alive or you could take everybody out.
Right.
I'm coming in and I'm going to set the tone right there. Get rid of the spoon with the raw meat.
Right.
Go.
So. But the truth is.
Do what you good at.
Exactly.
Stick to the word, man.
And that used to bother me. It used to bother me. And I would take, when she ate meat, I would take the steak and I'd put it on her plate. I'm joking. Mm-hmm. But it used to bother me.
Vengeance.
Vengeance is mine. It used to bother me. But I learned from it. And I'm not easily provoked in that sense anymore to be like, did she just check me in the kitchen in front of my kids, in front of the guests, in front of everybody? Who cares if I take a couple of people out? Mm. With raw meat. It doesn't matter. Okay? God's not gonna hold that to me. It was a mistake. Say, no, it was a joke. But no.
Yeah.
I have to be real in that sense because small things, if it's not checked, will turn into big things. They really, really will.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be arguing over foolishness.
No.
Life's too short. You love the love that you have in your heart for your wife, for your family. Life's too short. You don't want to step on that because of a toothpaste top.
No.
You don't want to step on that because your socks are on the side of the bed. You don't want to step on that because you don't like the way your wife places your clothes in the closet. You don't, yeah. Just foolishness.
Yeah, that's small.
It's just foolishness.
I'll say this. He is a ball of energy, rambunctiousness for the most part. Cloud of joy, wrapped in a Tasmanian devil blanket.
Really?
Yes. So, I mean, as a female, you're going through what you're going through day to day. You could have health problems, whatever. Mm. You know what I'm saying? There's a myriad of things that's going on in my. There's a million tabs open. You're running, doing this, and so at the moment, you know, it may feel like more, but it's just all good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Enjoy. I'm not going to argue. I'm just going to ask
right.
for quiet in the moment.
Right.
He's not going to respect that, but we're still going to just keep on. You
right.
know, it's not an argument. Though.
No.
So I don't want you to be offended if I say,
yes,
shh, for a second.
Right.
Just for a minute.
Right. Right.
Because I can't.
I am a big kid, and that's fine.
Yeah, it is. It's all good, though.
Right.
Like, it's positive energy. It's not negative.
Right.
But it's just if someone is, like, micromanaging a lot of things. Like, we have 7 children. And when they all were school age, I knew every item of clothing that they owned and where it was. And, I mean, why? This is useless information or useful? It's useful because I don't want them saying, I don't know where my sock. This is whatever. He don't even know. He doesn't know any of that. So it's like I'm thinking differently about the household and running, and he's thinking about what he's thinking about. So
I just learned
yeah,
where the washcloths are.
What?
I just learned where she puts my socks. I'm like, where did I get my socks?
Or the pediatrician's name?
Yes.
You don't know.
I'm like, hey, you. To the pediatrician.
Know. And so, like, if I wrote a list of the stuff he didn't know in the home, it would be like, well, you're not tapped in. You don't love. It has nothing to do with love, ladies. It just doesn't. They're just different. And it could be vice versa. Maybe the guy is the one that, you know, remembers everything and the wife is, you know, doing whatever she's doing. But either way, I wouldn't let those types of things, is what I'm trying to say, if you're dating or whatever. It's just like some people will leave people over stupidity. Like idiosyncrasies and just things like that. Like the socks, I had to let it go. Like it is what it is. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. There was a lady at my son's school 15 or so years ago. Mm-hmm. And she had lost her husband. And we became like friends when we would come to pick up the kids or do events and things like that. And she said she lost her husband. And I was like, yeah, we were talking just in general. They always leave their socks on the side of the bed or their slippers or whatever. And she said, you know, he would do that. He would leave his slippers there. Maybe she would trip over him. But now that he's gone, she just leaves the slippers there. You know what I mean? And so honestly, from that moment, it's changed my perspective, because I was very like, this shouldn't be here. I need to keep a home a certain way, whatever, whatever. But it's not as important as you think it is, because that means they're there.
Right.
You know, they're present.
Right.
There could be a lot of other things going on.
Right.
So don't sweat the small stuff. Yeah. That's my point.
Let it go. Let it go.
I mean, if they're willing to change and grow, then it's kudos. But
let's go back to love makes you do things. Mm-hmm. You know, let's go back to that.
What does it make you do?
It makes love makes you change. Makes you change into a person.
A better
person that can function in a marriage.
Yes. Can we talk about that? Because I remember someone was talking about growing and how people grow apart. That's why they get divorced. And I'm sure. You know what I mean? But I could see that.
Because there's no change.
Yes.
Because when you're married and you have love as your foundation, God is your foundation, Christ is your foundation, and you're working on the things that makes you a better person, and you're not allowing yourself to be easily provoked, you're not acting and behaving unseemly, there's no pride, no envy, all those things I just said to you grow you apart. All those things grow you apart.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to come together and grow together, mm-hmm. and grow for longevity, mm-hmm. For longevity, which makes you it makes you a better person. It makes you want to be there. So when you're loving someone and you're loving them for longevity, you're going to go the extra mile. When you're loving someone the proper way and you're trying to go to 50 years of marriage, 60 years of marriage, it takes work. It takes a lot of work.
It's very important that you don't, and I know some people might have their own opinions about this. It's like, well, I need to grow for me as a person. But what I hear when people grow apart or grow separately, mm-hmm. like parallel and not grow together, is separateness, separate single mindset. And we're going to talk about that, because that's a huge part of our premarital counseling,
right?
Because you have two single individuals, right, with separate mindsets, separate households, separate everything, mm-hmm. and you are literally becoming one in the eyes of God and before the world, right? But what happens is they only become one in very few areas, and you know the right. areas that I'm talking about. It's like, oh, if we could mesh our money and be a power couple, let's do that. If we could mesh our physical beings together and make a baby, let's do that. But then everything else, they don't mesh. They don't come together like fully. And so you're growing, and they're like, well, I need to do this for me. I need to better myself in this way. I need to better myself. But are you doing it in a way where it betters yourself and the unit?
Right.
It's like they don't remember the unit at all. It's very single-minded.
It is. So your minds have to become one mind.
Mm-hmm.
Your speech have to become one speech. It's just like when we tell a child. We tell one of our kids when they were little. Oh, we still have little ones now, but when we tell them, and our youngest now, he's at the age where he'll go to mom and mama say no about a certain thing. And then he'll come to me, and then I'll go, he'll be like, Dad, da 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 da. I'll be like, listen, what did your mother say? And then he'll run from me and go back to mom. Mm-hmm. And didn't I tell you no? That's what she'll say. And I'm listening to the whole thing. And I already know I'm going to say no anyway, because she said no, and we're one voice. So he comes back to me again, and I go like, go ask your mother. Like, I just went to her. Go ask her again. Mm-hmm. Then he comes back to me. Well, she keeps saying no. What you think I'm going to say? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. I'm not going against her. We're united in front. Mm-hmm. I'm not going against her. And she's not going against me. That's how it has to be in marriage. You can't go against each other. When you go against each other, you're going to fall apart. But when you're for each other, mm-hmm. when you got each other's back, when you love each other with pure love, with the love that God designed to be in the marriage, you're going to be great, and your marriage is going to last a very long time. Love it's it. Like that wine. It is
longevity. Mm-hmm. That's the key. That's the secret sauce. I don't care what anybody tells you. Love is longevity, because love is going to make you communicate.
Right.
It's not going to be stubborn and say, I refuse to change. I refuse to communicate. Right. I refuse mm-hmm. to be faithful. I refuse mm-hmm. to do what you're asking of me right. or for the unit or things that are better. I refuse, I refuse, I refuse. That's, you have a love problem.
Right.
Wrap it up. What you got for me?
Wrap it up.
And a bow.
Baby, I've been loving you for a long time, baby. Baby, I've been loving you for 29 years, baby. 29.
Yes.
Going on 29.
Yes, we are approaching our 29th dating anniversary in a few weeks.
Yes. 29 Excited. Years.
Yeah, oh my
God. And you still look 29.
I still look 29? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yes.
Growing older than someone, where you both look in the mirror and you're like, oh my God, I got a great eyebrow. Like, it's crazy. I was 16 years old.
Yes. So
this has been a wild ride, yo.
This is love. Mm-hmm. This is wine fermenting.
Yes, yes.
And taking off the bad. Taking off the bad. Mm-hmm. Always taking off the bad.
Yes.
Let's get to that question.
Yes. Okay. Okay. It's a dating question. Let's get y'all married. And the book, yes, we're working on it. That's why we are wrapping the season, and we have some amazing things coming your way.
Yes.
I want a man with chivalry. You don't know what chivalry is? It's opening doors and pulling out the chair.
Yes. Standing when she gets up to go to the bathroom in a restaurant.
Yes.
You know?
It's not dead.
No, it's not.
If I'm dating.
I'm big on chivalry.
I know you are.
I'm big on chivalry.
I know you are. You set the tone for the girls. Yeah. So their husbands, you know, they can't come short of that. If I'm dating and he doesn't open my door, pull out my chair, compliment me, etc., how do I get my needs met and let him know how I want to be treated?
Let me answer this first. First, you take him, right? You go to the tallest building.
No.
Right? You wrap his foot, right? And then you say, you gonna give me chivalry? And if he says nothing, you go. You ask him one more time. You gonna give me chivalry? He just toss him like an anchor, and then find someone else who's gonna give you chivalry. But when you're looking for a new person, you wear that same chain or rope around your neck, letting him know what you all about. You about chivalry? Say no. Answer the question.
As a dad, right. That sets the tone for chivalry.
Well,
let me tell you something about him. He opens my doors. He pulls out the chair when he can. You know what I mean? In a restaurant. He is all about the flowers, all about the jewels, all about it. And I am grateful for that. I
forget I compliment
that.
You.
Yes. Yes.
That's right. You take care of your flower. Yes. Your flower will take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth.
Okay.
So chivalry. Mm-hmm. I have four girls, okay? And my four girls are special girls. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. They are the apple of my eye. Okay. I love my boys too. Okay. I love my hairy legged boys. Okay. But my girls are female lions. Okay. And they're looking for a male lion who isn't like me, but who has
those attributes.
Well, all my attributes come from God.
You know I'm saying? Mean? Those attributes.
They
those.
Do, but all my attributes come from God. Mm. So I want them to find someone who's going to take care of them, nourish them, and guess what? More than likely, they may not have more than them, okay? And they have to be okay with that. And they have to be okay with that. I want them to find someone who's going to love them for who they are, for how beautiful they are, who's going to love them and treat them properly, who's going to open the door, who's going to let them know that it's okay, who's going to make them feel safe,
mm-hmm.
okay, who's going to compliment them and guide them.
So how does she get her niece mad? You started talking about our kids.
I know, because my kids are serious. That, it means a lot to me.
Okay, so how would she communicate her? I mean, obviously it's communicate.
You got to communicate,
yeah.
Yes.
You yeah, don't be afraid. I guess I know what's underlying here, and it's like, listen, if I know how to be a woman and do what I'm supposed to do, how come you don't know what you're supposed to do? But let me say this. All men weren't raised with a dad.
Right.
Some of them were raised by a single mom, which yeah. We have a strong belief that a woman cannot, she can raise you, but she cannot teach you how to be a man because she is a woman. So teach you how to treat a woman in all the other areas and teach you how to fear God and stuff like that. But that male figure is absolutely needed. Sometimes right. It's just not there. So they may have a dad. They may have had a grandpa. He may have been on the right side of the tracks. May not. We don't know. So they only can model what they see, right? And then you don't know their environment. So it's like, well, there's books, there's video, there's media, there's this. We don't know what that was for him to be nurtured in, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know if he was raised in a field with lilies and it's just like, okay, I'm going to just rise out of here. Or was a hard, rocky, concrete jungle.
Right.
You do not know where this person's coming from. And if they're in a place where it's like, well, I want to know. I'm okay with knowing how to get to be the man that you need for me, but I never saw this, right?
Right.
I just didn't see that. You got to give him grace, I think, for that.
You got to give him grace, but at the same time.
I know you're coming from a place where you're like, it should be automatic. It's not automatic for everybody.
No, I know it ain't automatic, but at the same time, if a man is going to love someone and they're willing to go the extra mile to learn, to, as women will call it, molding. Mm-hmm. I can mold this person to what I want them to be. You can only mold a person if the person allows you to mold them, okay? So this person has to be pliable, okay? Must be a pliable individual with a pliable heart.
That's a good thing to look for.
Pliable mindset. Mm-hmm. The pliable mindset for them to give you that chivalry that you're looking for. Because, face it, we live in a time where it just doesn't exist. It gets rarer and rarer and rarer as the years go on. 2025, right now, chivalry is probably, what, 17%? 2025, next year, it's probably going to be 3%. You know, that's a big drop, right? It's a huge drop. So you got to take what you can get. And you got to take what's moldable, and you have to mold it in the right way without being overbearing, but being more so understanding. Mm-hmm. Being more so understanding. That's my advice to you.
So this was for dating. What would you say to a married man right now, mm-hmm, that is not doing any of these things? And they have a good wife.
Wow.
Step up.
Not doing any of these things.
Step up.
And they will not step up.
No, I'm saying it's like they don't, there's some type of sunglasses on at this, mm-hmm, point, because it's like, they're not, she could be carrying all groceries. They're not taking one of them out of her hand. And it's not that she needs you to.
Right.
It's like, she has arms. It's like, she could do it.
The same thing applies, because if that person, sometimes that person don't even know they're not doing them.
They're oblivious.
Yeah, they're oblivious. It's like, well, you can handle it. What you mean you can handle it? Well, if it's too much for you to take two trips, okay? That's a problem. That's a huge problem.
Get your steps in.
Right. You don't.
You eat too much snacks anyway.
That's a problem, you know?
Maybe it's a pun. I don't know.
If it's 8 bags, you need to take, you carry what, 2 bags in each hand? If it's 8 bags, you need to take 2 trips. No. In all reality, this person may not even see it. You have to speak up. You got to speak up, as God would say, mm-hmm, ask. You can't receive if you don't ask. Have a conversation. Ask this person, hey, do you love me? Hey, are you willing to help me in the place where I need help? Because I need you to be what I need you to be. I need you to lighten my burden some.
I think, honestly,
to love me correctly, because it boils down to love.
I think that women, if this is you, and you're thinking what I think you're thinking, that you're like, he should know better. If you're already married. So the dating.
Know better.
No, I know. So the dating part, you could get there. Y'all have room. Y'all have an advantage here, ladies that are dating in this sense, because you're not, the deal is not sealed yet. There's no ring. Mm. And you could just communicate like, hey, you know, this is what I want. And he says, hey, this is what I want. And you could work on being what each other wants, right? Clear. You're already married and you're like, you know what? That's just not the type of person he is, but I so want romance, right?
Right.
We could do a whole series on romance. I want it because it looks different for different people.
Yeah.
I want the romance. And they're like, I think the men might need a class. I don't know if I could get them to teach it. Let me know. Email us at gmsm@goodfig.tv. If you think your man or someone you know needs the class, they need that. Because I often joke with the kids that my grandmother would put me in charm school. Like, I wasn't literally in charm school, but she was grooming me to be a little lady, you know? It's like, sit like this, put the book on top of your head, make sure your back is arched. When you get out of the tub, dry your feet so there's not wet footprints on the floor. All those little things,
Right.
right? And it stays with you. So it's like, you know how to have decorum, you know how to eat properly, you know how to wipe your mouth, you know how to do all those things, right? And I think that men, I don't know who would, I don't know if you're teaching your sons this, you know, ladies. And I don't know if there's men in the house teaching them that ladies like this. It's not a necessary, like, yes, she could go back and get all the bags, but why? Like, you know what I mean? Or yes, she could handle all of this by herself,
Right.
but why not help?
Right.
Yeah, yes, no, I don't have. I just gave her flowers a couple months ago. Like, geez, why does it have to always be about her and this and that? It's like the romance, the
Right.
sh like chivalry shouldn't be dead.
No, it
We are
shouldn't.
women. We are soft creatures with a lot of emotions, and we need to be cared for in a certain way.
Let me explain this. This is sum it up, okay? Men, and this is the truth.
Tell
God made
him.
flowers, right? He made flowers, and he most flowers that he made, I've never seen an ugly flower,
No.
okay? They're all
Even the
beautiful.
wild ones.
Yes, they're all beautiful. My wife loves
Yes,
wildflowers.
I do.
They're all beautiful, right? Flowers. God takes care of those flowers. When you bring those flowers inside of the house, you chose those flowers. They're like, oh my God, he chose me. She chose me. I'm coming in the house. I'm gonna be sitting in the vase with water. They're gonna put that powder inside. I'm gonna be healthy. I'm gonna be good. Right? You make sure that flower is good. If you buy some roses and the roses are bruised, all you gotta do is pull those petals off and you got a brand new
Cut
rose.
that stem,
Right?
yeah.
That's all you gotta do. It's the same thing. There's nothing more beautiful than a woman. Any woman. There's nothing more beautiful than a curvy, beautiful woman. Nothing. And God expects you to nourish that woman, to cherish that woman, to take care of that woman, to put that woman in a vase, to put the proper water inside. If the water's dirty, clean it. Okay? He expects you,
Question
if
for
the
you.
petals get bruised, to pull those petals back. And when you take care of it, she's going to open to you in such a beautiful way. And it's beautiful. And you'll see all that she can do. But you got to do your part first. And then you watch how a woman will amaze you in her capabilities.
Yes.
That's the
So I have
truth.
a quick question and we're gonna wrap. What if this woman, for whatever reason,
Right.
because we don't have time to unpack the reasons,
Right.
is not taking care of herself.
What? Now, if a woman's not taking care of herself, there is something going on. There's something mentally going on. It's not a physical thing. It's a mental thing. And I can promise you that. Something going on mentally. We'll wrap on that.
Unpack it. Yeah, so just keep that in your hat. So you need to, I think it's more about the reason why I ask is eyes open. Because, like, if you can ignore that someone's carrying a load too heavy,
Right.
you might have something going on with you. It's like,
Right.
pay attention. You know, we always talk about that. Pay attention, vice versa. Either way, pay attention to the mental, the physical, everything that's going on with your other half. Pay attention to yourself because you are them, right? They are you. Pay attention. And we have absolutely loved coming to you this season, and the
Loved
episodes have been fun. It's
it.
been just, it's been so fun. And
Right.
we hope that you've enjoyed all of the episodes.
Yes.
If you have any questions, gmsm@goodfig.tv.
Should be ready.
Yep. And let us know. Let us know what's going on in your dating life. Let us know what's going on in your marriage life about this episode or any of the other episodes that we have aired. And Shout out to those that are listening on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Just know that if you want to see our lovely faces, you can download the Good Fig Network app and you can watch the live show and catch up on all the episodes from season one. And stay tuned because we have some amazing things coming for season two. If you have any suggestions or things like, can you get into this? This is not something you've touched on yet. Just remember to email us. And we also put it out there if you wanted to see luminous couples, right? We've heard a little bit of feedback, but we want to hear more from you. If you really want to better yourself,
right?
If you are dating and you're like, well, I want to be the best version of me that I can, and if you're married and you want to be the best version of you for your family, for each other, for God, Luminous Meditation, it is on the Good Fig Network app.
Yep.
Luminous Meditation. Yes. Not Luminous Meditation, yes, on the Good Fig Network.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, thank you for being there. We love you. Take care, and God bless.
God bless. Peace.
Peace.